We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
Hello, my name is Grant Negus, and today I want to talk about the Ghostlands. The Ghostlands are originally part of an area that is referred to as Blackened Woods, and the zone we know now as Ghostlands is a level 10 to 20 starting area for the Blood Elves. To the north we find the Eversong Woods, to the south we have the Eastern Plagueland. You have to go through the portal, through the Thalassian Pass, to get either direction. But you can fly on the taxi flight, and it's going to take you through the portal and continue the flight in either direction. The flight points we have in the Ghostlands are Tranquillion, the basic main hub in the zone, and we have the Zulaman flight point. That's right outside of the instance Zulaman, which originally was a 10-man raid instance, but later in Cataclysm got revamped to a 5-man heroic dungeon. A noticeable geographical thing is that we have a spire on the west coast of the Ghostlands that's called Windrunner Spire, and that's the home of the Windrunner family. We all know Sylvanas Windrunner and Verisa Windrunner, her younger sister, widow of Ronan, the former head of the Kirin Tor, and mother of Giramar and Galadin, their twin sons, and still visible in Dalaran, and the elder sister Alaria, which disappeared in Outlands once she went through the dark portal together with her husband Turellian to chase after Ner'zhul after the end of the Second War, but that's another story. The two of them have a son, and his name is Arator Windrunner, or as he is better known, Arator the Redeemer, because Alliance players might have noticed his presence in Honor Hold, in the Outlines, in the Outlands Hellfire Peninsula. He is there in the inn. I'm not totally sure if he is a quest giver, but I think he is not. But he's around there in the inn somewhere, so you can go look at him. He is, as I said, the son of Alaria and Therelion. Just for completion's sake, there is, or was, a younger brother in the family as well, Lirath, but he was killed in the Second War, so we really don't know that much about him. The Ghostlands is also part of the route that Arthas took marching on Silvermoon with his army of Scourge to resurrect Kel'Thuzad, so he in turn could summon Archimonde to Azeroth, which he successfully did, and we had to battle and destroy in the raid instance called Battle for Hyjal using the Sunwell. And basically the policy of the Blood Elves back then, or the Sindarai, the policy of Scorched Earth is part of the reason why the Ghostlands and the Eversong Woods look like they do now, because they pretty much burned everything and took whatever means were necessary to stop the Scourge, unsuccessfully, unfortunately, but again, that's another thing. Alright, this is not a lore lesson, it's just a little zone overview. Before it turns into a lore lesson, I'd better stop. If you want to read more about the Ghostlands and the Sunwell, I suggest you read the manga series Sunwell, if you can get your hands on it. It's a good read. If you have any questions or suggestions for zones for me to highlight in a later CRI minicast, tweet me at GrantNegus1, write me an email at towerofcommerce@gmail.com. This has been Grant Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye guys.
Hello, darlings. Great big thank you to Grand Negus. And this next song is by the amazingly talented Charm, and it's called All About My Base. Following that is Novel 87, with the conclusion of his Sylvanas Windrunner lore. Happy December, darlings.
Because you know I'm all about my base, more missions. I'm all about my base, more buildings. I'm all about my base, more missions. I'm all about my base. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I love my garrison. I keep upgrading, grading, that that all my friends need. I'm moving on up and I'm keeping busy. I'm at my garrison, working my orders out. I got a schedule wall, I got it written down. I got these duty duties and I can't stop, cause every building's got me working from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your fort. But she don't understand that I'm working to a report. You know I barely stepped foot into the new lands of Jane. Cause I've been chilling in my town hall with all my followers. Because you know I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. More buildings, I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. Buy the builder swag. When you check garrisons, you won't go back. When I'm at work, I want that mobile app. Cause I love my garrison, every inch of it is perfect, like my little pleasure box. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your fort.
Hello everyone! Last time we ended the story with Sylvanas finding out that a new Lich King was placed on the throne and that her mission for vengeance was complete. Sylvanas threw herself at the top of Ice Crown to end her life, but she found out that the afterlife holds nothing but torment. The Valkyr came down and they offered Sylvanas a deal. They would be liberated from Bolvar's control, and in exchange they will take Sylvanas' place in Hell and join her on the rest of her adventures. In this video we're going to talk about what Sylvanas did with her second chance and what the future might hold. Let's begin, shall we?
Though Lady Sylvanas and her Forsaken finally took vengeance upon their hated enemy, the Lich King, their dark crusade in Northrend proved costly. Betrayed by Grand Apothecary Putrus at the Battle of Wrathgate, the Forsaken's devious plague of death was unleashed upon both the Alliance and the Horde to calamitous effect. Unbeknownst to Sylvanas, Putrus and his demonic ally, Verimathras, had taken control of the Undercity. As a result, the Forsaken were wrongly blamed for the traitor's atrocities. Though the Undercity was eventually retaken, Sylvanas and her followers still bear the weight of Putrus' sins. Mistrusted by the other members of the Horde, the Forsaken must now prove their loyalty to the cause and redeem themselves from their supposed treachery. To this end, Sylvanas has bolstered her defenses within the Tirisfal Glades and readied her undead forces for any contingency. As one of the Forsaken, you must use your cunning and viciousness to slay any who would pose a threat to Sylvanas' rule, be they human, undead, or otherwise.
In one of the visions shown by the Valkyr, Sylvanas saw how Garrosh was throwing away Forsaken troops in order to take Ilnaeus. Upon returning, Sylvanas told the Warchief that they would take Ilnaeus, but they would do it her way. No one would squander her Forsaken away. She needed them as a bulwark against the Infinite, and not even the Warchief would take them away from her. To understand the battle at Gilneas, we'll have to talk a little bit about the history of Gilneas and their people. Gilneas built their gigantic wall around their city sometime after the Second War, so sometime after the first Horde invasion was defeated. It was part of the Alliance of Lordaeron, and their leader Ghent Greymane, he placed the support with the other leaders. Greymane was not much of a team player though, and he would rather spend his money on defending his own kingdom and his own people than working together with the rest, but he didn't go as far as betraying the Alliance. The Alliance, they would eventually win the war against the Horde, and over time their allegiances would weaken. Greymane took it one step further, and he built a massive wall around his city, allowing no one to set foot in his land so they wouldn't have to concern themselves with other people's problems. His wall was very mighty, but not strong enough to stand against the Scourge and Arvids. When the undead roamed the land, Gilneas's forces tried to stop them, but they were decimated. Desperate, Greymane asked Archmage Arugal for aid, and Arugal, he summoned the Worgen to attack the Scourge. The Worgen were summoned from the Emerald Dream, where they were placed many years ago by Malfurion Stormrage himself. These Worgen, they actually used to be druids who tried to contain their powers of the demigod Goldrin, but instead of containing the powers, they lost themselves to the Fury. Their bites would even spread the Worgen curse to other people, and Malfurion, he saw no other way than to place them in hibernation within the Dream. At first, the plan worked great. The summoned Worgen were a great fighting force against the Scourge, but then the Worgen, they turned around and they attacked Gilneas people, slowly spreading their curse through the city. These Worgen were led by Ralar Fangfire, also known as Alpha Prime, the first of the druids who had turned into a Worgen. He had infiltrated Gilneas through tunnels under the Greymane wall, and he was searching for the Scythe of Alun, which he could use to summon more of his Worgen brothers and sisters from the Emerald Dream. With these additional Worgen, he planned to assault their nests and take revenge upon Malfurion, and to this end, he allied himself with the Forsaken in their assault against Gilneas. The invasion of Gilneas, it took place in several stages, and it's a little bit too big to cover all the little details, but I will do my best. At first, as I just told you, Geralt threw the Forsaken at the Gilneas wall, but the wall was able to hold. Alpha Prime, he attacked the city with his Worgen, to which King Greymane allied himself with Lord Darius Crowley. Darius had led a rebellion against Greymane in the past, and he was imprisoned because of this, but Greymane, he still saw him as a friend, and the city needed his help. Together, they fought back against the Worgen assault, but Crowley, he realized that the only way for the citizens to survive would be to evacuate them all to Duskhaven. He and his forces stayed behind to keep the Worgen distracted, while Greymane and the rest of their people evacuated. Crowley's sacrifice saved many lives that day, but at the price of him becoming a Worgen himself. The royal alchemist of King Ghent Greymane had managed to create a potion which allowed the Worgen to regain their sanity and take control over their actions, even if it was for just a little while. These liberated Worgens, they joined the Gilneas forces, and even though Alpha Prime had taken the city, their walls were holding. That was until the cataclysm hit the world of Azeroth. It shattered the Greymane wall and even the natural defenses around the city. This allowed the Forsaken to not only invade from the land, but they could also assault from the sea. The Worgen, there were no pushovers though, and their forces led by Prince Liam Greymane and Lord Vincent Godfrey, they were able to put up a fierce resistance. Unfortunately for them, the cataclysm was not over yet, and they had to evacuate Duskhaven before the land was consumed by the sea. The survivors, they fled to Blackwald, where they found the Night Elves led by Belrissa Starbreeze. Belrissa had actually been there when the first of the druids assumed their Worgen forms, and she offered her assistance and knowledge with restoring the balance between man and beast. The potion that was given to the Gilneas, it would not last forever, but the Night Elf ritual would restore the balance and would allow the Gilneas to hold control over their Worgen forms. Crowley had already made his way to the Night Elves, and he informed adventurers that the Forsaken had gotten their hands on the Scythe of Alun. This artifact would allow them to hold control over the Worgen, so they had to reclaim the item before it was lost forever. A pack of Worgen, led by Tobias Mistmantle, they distracted the Forsaken, while adventurers stole back the Scythe before it could reach Sylvanas. After these events, Godfrey and Greymane, they showed up asking Crowley to join their forces once more. Crowley asked if Greymane requested their aid as a tyrant or as a friend, to which Greymane revealed that he himself had turned into a Worgen, so he was asking this as a friend. Godfrey could not handle his king being one of the cursed Worgens, so he made his plans of his own. He captured Greymane with the intention of using him as a bargaining chip with the Forsaken. The adventurers, they came to the rescue once more and they liberated the king, to which Godfrey decided that it was better to be dead than to serve under a Worgen. After liberating and recruiting as many of the people as they could, Greymane and Liam got ready to fight for their city. The prince himself led their forces against the troops of the Forsaken as they fought their way to the heart of the city. There, Sylvanas herself showed up on the battlefield, planning to use a poisoned arrow on the king himself. But his son jumped in front of the shot and he died in his father's arms. Sylvanas retreated and she met with General Warhal, who was sent by Geras to keep an eye on the Forsaken.
It appears you're losing control of Gilneas, Sylvanas. Geras fears he's going to have to carry out this invasion himself.
You can assure Geras that this is a minor setback. Our victory in Gilneas will be absolute.
You sound very confident, Your Majesty. I seriously hope you do not plan to use the plague. Geras has explicitly forbidden it.
You do well to watch your tone, General. Neither you nor Geras have anything to worry about. We've ceased all production of the plague, as he ordered. We'd never deploy it without his permission.
I will deliver my report to our leader, then. By your leave, my lady.
Go with honor, General.
My lady, should I order my men to stop the deployment of the plague? Or are we to continue as planned?
What kind of question is that? Of course we're deploying the plague as planned. Let the Gilneans enjoy their small victory. Not even their bones will remain by tomorrow.
As you wish.
Tobias Mismental, he heard the entire conversation, and he made sure to evacuate the city before they would all fall to the plague. Gilneas was left in ruins, but its citizens had survived as they sailed away on boats delivered to them by the Night Elves. A new alliance was formed. They would return to fight another day, while the Gilneas Liberation Front, led by Darius Crowley, remained behind to try and retake Gilneas from the Forsaken forces. Meanwhile, Sylvanas, she presented the war chief with her new allies.
Goodbye.
Where is that ogre-headed buffoon? Ah, speak of the devil.
This better be important, Sylvanas. You know how I detest this place and its foul stench. Why have you called for me? And more importantly, what are those scourge fiends doing here?
War Chief, so glad you could make it. With the death of the Lich King, many of the more intelligent scourge became unemployed. Those fiends, as you so delicately put it, are called Valkyr. They are under my command now. And they are part of the reason that I asked to see you.
Get on with it, Sylvanas!
Very well, War Chief. I have solved the plight of the Forsaken. As a race, we Forsaken are unable to procreate. With the aid of the Valkyr, we are now able to take the corpses of the fallen and create new Forsaken. Agatha! Show the War Chief!
What you have done here, Sylvanas, it goes against the laws of nature. Disgusting is the only word I have to describe it.
War Chief, without these new Forsaken, my people would die out. Our hold upon Gilneas and Northern Lordaeron would crumble.
Have you given any thought to what this means, Sylvanas? What difference is there between you and the Lich King now?
Isn't it obvious, War Chief? I serve the Horde.
Watch your clever mouth, bitch! Gromosh, you stay behind and make sure the Banshee Queen is well guarded. I will be expecting a full report when next we meet. Remember, Sylvanas, eventually we all have to stand before our Maker and face judgment. Your day may come sooner than others.
Geralt is obviously not pleased with Sylvanas' actions, but she doesn't care what the Warchief has to say. The Valkyr are now her most powerful allies, able to resurrect the Fallen and make them fight for the Banshee Queen, something Sylvanas makes full use of as the war against Gilneas and the rest of the area continued. The Valkyr, they were deployed to convert the humans at Fenris Isle into Forsaken. But Crowley, he made use of this attack by offering the humans their Worgen blood. Embracing the Worgen curse would make the humans immune to the Valkyr's magic, and it would prevent them from being turned into Forsaken. Even though they hated the idea to become Worgen, they still accepted it, since it was better than to be turned into the undead. Around this time, Greymane had made his way to Stormwind and he allied with the Alliance. Kyvarion Rin, he realized the threat of the Forsaken and he deployed some of his finest troops to the liberation of Gilneas. The 7th Legion was sent out to take back the city and they were actually successful. But Sylvanas, she had more plans in mind. See, the adventurers recover the corpse of Lord Vincent Godfrey, the same Godfrey who threw himself off the cliff. Our own troops recovered his lieutenants, Lord Walden and Baron Ashbury. They were resurrected as Forsaken, and Godfrey seemed to be more than willing to serve the Dark Lady. He had always said that it was better to be dead than to serve as a Worgen, so he had no problem with being resurrected as an undead. The adventurers, they were then put on the task of taking Embermill, one of the last Dalaran settlements in the land. A rumor had it that the mages at Embermill, they were waiting for more Alliance reinforcements before turning on the Forsaken, so they had to be taken out before they became a bigger threat. They too were turned into the undead, adding more and more forces to Sylvanas, her army. The 7th Legion and the Worgen were not yet defeated though, and Godfrey and his men were set on the task of collecting Lorna Crowley, daughter of Lord Darius Crowley, who was leading the Gilneas Liberation Front. Lorna, she was still unaffected by the Worgen curse, which meant that she was still vulnerable to Sylvanas and her Valkyr. Sylvanas went as far as to threaten Crowley, and she told him that if they wouldn't hand over Gilneas, that she would turn Lorna into one of her Forsaken. Crowley had no choice, and he surrendered the city to Sylvanas, and the dame seemed to be won. However, Godfrey had other plans in mind. He shot Sylvanas point blank in her back, ending her life, and while the orc Kromash and the adventurers present, they quickly overpowered Godfrey, he did manage to retreat all the way back to Shadowfang Keep. The Valkyr had made the pact for Sylvanas, and they worked on bringing her back to life. The first time that Sylvanas had killed herself, only one Valkyr had to take her place, but apparently, that Valkyr was far more powerful than the rest of them. This time, it took all three of them to bring Sylvanas back, but they were successful, and Sylvanas came back from hell. She was furious at Godfrey, and swore that she would get her revenge as she made her way back to the Undercity to recover. Godfrey, he was taken out in the Shadowfang Keep dungeon, while Gilneas, to this day, is still being fought over. Blizzard hasn't made an official story about this, but several tweets from reliable sources suggest that even though Crowley surrendered, several of his people did not. They still battled over the future of Gilneas, which we see in the battleground. Later on, we have Creed who shows up. He was part of the Rogue Legendary questline. Refion, he sends rogues to take him out, and Kree's forces left the city for a safer place. Time will tell who might hold Gilneas in the future. For now, it's still disputed. More territories would be conquered by the Forsaken, amongst them the town of Southshore, which was obliterated with the use of the plague. However, the final battle that I want to talk about is the battle at Enderhall. Both the Alliance and the Horde, they fought over this territory, not only with each other, but also with some of the remaining Scourge forces. The Alliance, they were led by the Death Knight Vasarion, while the Horde was led by Khaldra Deathweaver, and those who've made a Death Knight before know that these two are very friendly towards each other. They meet on the battlefield, and after taking out Darkmaster Gandling together, they decide to retreat and regroup their forces. Vasarion, he warns his old friends that they are brothers no longer. Both of them, they've allied themselves with either the Alliance or the Horde, and eventually they will have to face each other on the battlefield for the fate of Enderhall. We're told not to say a word about their little arrangements, but Sylvanas is no fool. Disguised as Lindsay Ravenson, she sends adventurers on the quest to use her Valkyr and convert the local farmers into Forsaken troops. The Alliance also recruits and trains farmers to help with the battle, and these farmers attack first, despite Vessarion's orders. It doesn't matter to Sylvanas though. She has seen enough of Coulter's weakness, and she sends out her own troops together with the Valkyr to take on the Alliance. Even though the Alliance was able to defeat the Valkyr, the battle at Anderhal was still lost. There were simply too many troops for Take the City, and the Forsaken had won. Despite their victory, Sylvanas was not pleased. The battle should have been over days ago when they defeated the Scourge, so she grabs Coulter and she sends him to the Undercity. Arthas apparently had failed with creating his Death Knight. Sylvanas found them to be far too weak, but when she's finished with him, his weakness will be gone. Unfortunately for us, this storyline is left unfinished. Vessarion says that he will go to Tearsfall to find out what happened to Coulter and to take on the Dark Lady, but so far, we haven't heard a thing about this. Who knows what Sylvanas is doing with Coulter and Undercity, but what we do know for certain is that the battle for Anderhal cost Sylvanas one of her Valkyr. The Alliance lost the city, but the Dark Lady is one step closer to the afterlife she desperately wants to avoid. Now, after these events, Sylvanas and the Forsaken would take a step back, as the story of the Cataclysm would focus more on Thrall and the Dragon aspects, while Mr. Pandaria opened up with the bombing of Faramore. War Chief Garrosh Hellscream has the Horde attack Faramore. He asked of them to gather their armies, and Sylvanas sent some of her forces, led by Captain Frendis Farley. She didn't join the battle herself, though, and as most of you know by now, the armies gathered were merely to draw out as many of the Alliance forces as they could, so they could wipe them all out with a single bomb created from the focusing iris. This was one of the first steps of Garrosh using dishonorable tactics of him pissing off the other leaders of the Horde, and when he had his people assassinate Vol'jin, it was time for action. Vol'jin led the rebellion against Garrosh and his true Horde, while the Alliance and the rest of the Horde leaders, they joined for the siege of Orgrimmar. During the siege, we see Sylvanas herself during the Warlord Zela encounter, and just before the encounter, she makes an interesting offer to Lorfmar.
Bladefist Bay is fortified! By the Sunwell, we're getting slaughtered. Heroes, port over to the docks and take out their shore defenses. Put a stop to this bloodshed.
I can raise your dead, Regent Lord. Your rangers can fight again.
Sylvanas, you will leave our corpses alone, or I will deal with you here and now.
I'm sorry to see your lack of commitment. What of the human corpses?
Well, I suppose that's between you and the Alliance, isn't it?
Rise, my angels. Let your screams fill the streets of Orgrimmar with terror.
She offers to raise Lorfmar's fallen rangers, blood elves, which implies that her Valkyr can resurrect more than just humans. Obviously, Lorfmar doesn't want her anywhere near their fallen, so Sylvanas, she focuses her attention on Warlord Zela. After Garrosh is defeated, a new warchief has to be appointed, and Vol'jin steps up and he takes on the mantle of warchief. Sylvanas doesn't object, but she does have her own things to say about it. She says the following. War Chief Vol'jin, does it sound absurd to you? I, for one, certainly won't be taking orders from a troll. But he put this little coalition together and won the day. He's also proven to be impossible to kill. I admire that. Time to test what he's made of. Sylvanas obviously respects Vol'jin's strength, but she won't be taking orders. Lorfmar says, I find politics exhausting. I'm confident Vol'jin would take us where we need to go. Lorfmar glances over to Sylvanas, assuming he can hold this Horde together. Lorfmar knows what's up with Sylvanas. She's offering to raise his debt now. He knows that within the Horde, Sylvanas could become a severe problem, and he hopes that Vol'jin will be able to keep it all together. We're going to talk about the possible future for Sylvanas in just a moment. First, we have to cover the event in War Crimes. War Crimes takes place after the Siege of Orgrimmar, in which Garrosh is placed on trial. The August Celestials are his jury, Torren Zoo is his judge, and the Horde and Alliance each have to present one member to either defend Garrosh or make clear that he deserves death. Sylvanas offers herself to be Garrosh's defender, since it's well known that she often disagreed with Garrosh. The Alliance would never accuse her of going soft, but Vol'jin declines the offer. They're looking for someone to defend Garrosh, and Sylvanas, she would be a great accuser, but she couldn't offer Garrosh a fair defense, not the one the Celestials are looking for. In the end, it's decided that Taronda becomes the accuser, while Bane needs to do his best to try and defend Garrosh. Sylvanas couldn't believe that they would actually go with this farce of a trial, but Bane actually did his best to honor his warchief's request and defend Garrosh. He did such a good job that Sylvanas lost her temper as they made their way out of court. She even went as far as to call Bane a bootlicking alliance sympathizer, but that was one step too far. Bane, the powerful warrior, seized Sylvanas by her arm, and she realized that if he wanted to, he could snap her arm like a twig. "I am not an alliance sympathizer," he said in a deep, calm voice. "Nor do I lick boots." Vol'jin told Bane to let Sylvanas go, and he explained to Sylvanas that Bane was just doing what he, the warchief, had asked of him. Her wish of seeing Garrosh dead would come, she just had to let it come in its own time, but Sylvanas had no intention of sitting around and waiting. She knew that even the slightest chance of Garrosh getting away with his head on his shoulders was too much, so she started to think of a plan to make death come on her terms. Just as she was pondering these thoughts, a messenger arrived giving her a scroll and a small package. "Once we were on the same side, perhaps we can be again," was the message on the scroll. Inside the package, Sylvanas found a necklace similar to the one brought back to her by adventurers. The inscription was also similar to her own necklace, only this one was addressed to her younger sister. "To Verisa, with love, Illyria." The Windrunner reunion fans had waited for years had finally happened. Verisa had heard rumors about Sylvanas, of course, but she'd never truly dealt with it. The trial was the first time that the two Windrunner sisters locked eyes again, and Verisa had made contact for one simple reason, making sure that Garrosh would not survive the trial. The sisters met up at Windrunner Spire in the Ghostlands, where Verisa told Sylvanas that poison would be the best way to go. Garrosh was under heavy guard, so an assassin would not be able to reach him, but even prisoners have to eat. Sylvanas would supply the poison, while Verisa would put it in Garrosh's meal, but before any planning and scheming could happen, Sylvanas had to know. She had to know why Verisa, who had married a human, had found a home with the Alliance, was now going against the very laws upheld by that faction. Verisa tried to lie at first, tried to hide away from the real reason, but eventually the truth came out. "He took my Ronin. That was all. That was everything." Sylvanas stepped forward and embraced her sister, and Verisa clung to her like the drowning woman she was. Sylvanas and Verisa made their plans to poison Garrosh, and as they did, they grew closer. Sylvanas felt emotions she hadn't felt in years, and she realized that she'd been very lonely. One day, she even asked Verisa to join her in the Undercity. Together, they could make their own laws and crush any who would stand in their way. Verisa actually accepted Sylvanas' offer, but what she didn't know was that Sylvanas planned on killing her and bringing her back to life. The Forsaken would not be willing to follow the orders from one of the living, and in death, Verisa would see the world as Sylvanas did. They would never have to be lonely again, and at first, Verisa seemed to be more than willing to join Sylvanas in the Undercity, until she remembered her two children. She had been so focused on getting revenge that she didn't stop to think that the Undercity would be no place for her two growing boys. They would have to be left behind, and it would be the memory of her two sons that would ruin all their plans. Verisa had poisoned Garrosh's meal, just as they had planned, but when she made her way back, she ran into Anduin, who was just about to go and talk with Garrosh. Anduin reminded Verisa of her sons, and she saw this moment as the light being at work. She told Anduin that she had poisoned Garrosh's meal, and it was up to him to decide whether or not to warn him. With that information, she left Anduin behind, and she made her way back to Dalaran to hold her two beautiful boys, and naturally, Anduin did the only thing he could. He slapped a bowl of food out of Garrosh's hands just before he was about to eat. It was up to the Celestials to decide what to do with Garrosh, and poison like this was not the way to go. A messenger was sent by Anduin to Verisa with the news what he had done, and she said, "Tell him Ronin thanks him." Sylvanas was also informed about her sister's action, and she wasn't as pleased. She felt betrayed by her little sister, and she rode out into the forest to vent her frustration, to murder any that were unlucky enough to cross her path. Sylvanas fell to her knees, she buried her face in her hands, and she wept. Wept like a broken child who had lost everything. Everything. Little moon. Gradually, the sobbing ceased, and the familiar peace of coldness drove out the heated hurting. Sylvanas rose, licking blood from her lips. She should have known the pain she had felt at first, when she dare foolishly permit herself to hope for something different from what she had now, to feel something for another, to feel love again. It had been a warning. A warning that she was no longer made for feelings such as hope, or love, or trust, or joy. These things were for the living. These things were for the weak. In the end, they would slip through her fingers, trickling away like the violet remnants of Jaina Proudmoore's apprentice Kindi, and she would be left alone. Again and always. Calmed now through her tears and slaughter, she remounted her horse. Sylvanas Windrunner, the Banshee Queen of the Forsaken, would never again make the mistake of believing she could love. And that's where Sylvanas' story ends for now. Warlords of Draenor so far has little to no story to offer for the Forsaken, so we'll have to wait and see as to where they'll take this story. This next bit is going to be a little bit of speculation and a little bit of my opinion, so take that as it is. A lot of you have asked me what Blizzard might do with Sylvanas, and honestly, I think it's going to be very difficult to bring this story not so much to a satisfying conclusion, but more to a reasonable storyline. Her story up to the Wrath of the Lich King was all about getting revenge, taking out Arthas, while also offering a home to those hit by the plague. She got that revenge during the Wrath of the Lich King expansion, and they had to give her a new motivation. This motivation apparently became staying out of hell, the Pact with the Valkyr, and now Sylvanas does the same thing to others as Arthas did to her. She is now resurrecting the dead herself, with a small side note that the newly risen Forsaken, they are offered a choice. They can either join Sylvanas, they can leave the Forsaken behind and go their own way, or they can return to the grave, which some use as an argument to make Sylvanas look a little bit better. In my opinion, it doesn't really. She might give a choice once they're resurrected, but she doesn't give a choice before ripping people out of the afterlife. You also have to wonder what kind of humans would stay at Sylvanas' side and actually fight their former allies, their former brothers and sisters. We even have one Forsaken that simply stepped away from Sylvanas because of all these actions. So all in all, I don't believe that offering a choice once the deed is already done is a real redeeming quality. Besides that, there are multiple occasions where she simply resurrects and offers no choice at all, and she even uses her Valkyr as a blackmail method. We've seen this with Crowley, either you hand over Gilneas or I will convert your child into an undead. This is a real threat, something that you don't wish on your worst enemy. Now there are several occasions where it's mentioned that something will have to be done with Sylvanas. Lore from Art the End of the Seas hopes a Vol'jin can deal with people like Sylvanas in the Horde, while Varian says, now to work of winning the peace. I would like to station a garrison near Feramore. We need to investigate cleansing the plague from Gilnean land so they can rebuild. We must contain Sylvanas. So Varian, he wants to give the Gilnean land back to the Gilneans, but so far we haven't really heard anything about actions taken against Sylvanas or the Forsaken giving up the land in the first place. Blizzard keeps dropping hints that Sylvanas is somewhat of a threat, but at the same time they let her go on with whatever she wants to do. I think part of the reason to this is that Sylvanas has a massive fanbase behind her. A lot of people that really love the Banshee Queen and her story, and they don't want to see her as an end boss or something of an evil character. This is what makes it so difficult to predict the future for Sylvanas, because on the one hand you have her doing evil stuff, while on the other hand you have people who don't want her to become a Garrosh. So what can you do with such a character? Curing her from the undead curse, it leaves us with the same result. People don't want Sylvanas to go anywhere, so curing her doesn't seem to be an option. A Windrunner reunion with her older sister Illyria might be a way to go, but I think the events in War Crimes pretty much demolished any hope for redemption from her older sister. Verisa, she betrayed Sylvanas near the end of the story. She made her feel again, only to crush all hopes, and Sylvanas closed her heart once more. I don't see Sylvanas stepping away from her path, even if they bring Illyria back into the story. So the conclusion to all of this, the Dark Lady, she will go on with what she's been doing. She will get her lands, she will build up her troops, she will make sure that the bulwark against the Infinite is mighty and strong. She has no intention of ever going back to hell, and she will do anything in her powers to make sure to stay alive. If you ever wonder, like, what might they do with the story, what Sylvanas might do, like becoming the Lich Queen, or finding Frostmourne, or whatever I've been suggested over the years, just ask yourself the simple question, will it help her stay alive? If yes, then she will definitely do it. If not, then she will try to find a way to bend the situation to her advantage, she will try to avoid the situation. All in all, Sylvanas wants to live, and she will do anything and everything to make sure she stays alive. And this brings us to the end of my video. Like I said, the final bit was more of an opinion piece than actual lore, which means that you can have a different opinion about the Banshee Queen, and that's perfectly fine. If you want to share your opinion, please feel free to leave a comment down below, and I really hope you enjoyed these videos. I love the story of Sylvanas, I hope I did it justice, and I can't wait to see what Blizzard is going to do. Thank you all very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos, and until next time, guys. See ya!
Children of the grave, heed my call! In life, we suffered unspeakable tragedies. We watched as our homes were razed to the ground. We cried out in agony as our families were cut down before our eyes. Finally, in the face of such atrocities, we were denied even the release of death. Now, we burn this Wicker Man as a symbol of our victory against old enemies. We paint our faces with the ash to send a message to new enemies, a declaration to those who fear and revile us as monsters. To those who would question our place in this world, we are not monsters. We are not the mindless wretches of Ghoul Army. No! We are a force even more terrifying. We are a chill in a coward's spine. We are the instruments of an unyielding ire. We are the Forsaken!